afternoon, colleagues. Welcome, everybody. I think we need to start our meeting. My apologies. I had to go to the chief's office. I was called today for something else. We've got our program in front of us. We just have our agenda notice that was circulated. As part of our processes that deals with our budget, we are having SAPO South African processes presenting in terms of the strategic plan and taking us through in terms of the issues on the turnaround strategy. I think I'll do the same thing that we normally do, allow the DM, and say welcome to the Chief Minister Mkhize, just to make some few remarks as we start, and then over to the team that is led by the administrator, Mr. Simo Lushabe. Once we do that, we'll take the presentation, and then later we'll follow in terms of engagement. Members, I noted that there's been several changes in the presentation, and I think the team will indicate which one in terms of the latest on the presentations. But I think we'll just follow on the screens, but I hope why it didn't think is was the actual document, the corporate plan was circulated, so we were able to utilize that. And I'm just hoping that I was assured that there are no changes on that one, because that's what most of us would have used to prepare for this meeting. The other issue I need to deal with is apologies. That I have received it from the minister. Due to other businesses, Mr. Ndosi. There's no explanation of Mr. Ndosi why he's not here. Or he's on study leave, okay. And then we've got an apology from Honorable Mafulo, who wants to release any due to another parliamentary responsibility. I've received the apology of the DG of the department, which I would like to announce that we reject that apology. Because the parliamentary process of oversight and of tabling strategic plans is the responsibility of the leadership of DGPS. I've received a letter that says she has delegated to somebody else, which I think is highly unacceptable. If we can make it here under circumstances that are beyond even our control, surely even where she has gone, she could have delegated. So I think for me, I'm not going to waste my time with that, but simply to convey the message through the CM that it's highly acceptable to the Director General that does not regard Parliament as important, especially tabling of strategic plans, and our understanding that part of the overseeing of the corporate plan and the processes and support overseen by the department and as the accounting officer, she needed to be here to be able to respond to issues. So I thought that's important for me as a chair to reflect, because I think we have a duty of holding the relative accountable, and we continue to do that as mandated by the Constitution. I noted, Nelson, you had your hand up. What is Honorable Chief?
Chairperson, it is just by half past four. I will also have to recuse myself for another parliamentary responsibility.
Okay, let's see how we go. So just to welcome everybody in terms of the meeting, I've done that. We'll go through straight to the DM just to make some remarks as we start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, and also the administrator and the team from the post office. I think, Chairperson, we today come here before the committee with a document which we think it begins to locate the post office within the National Development Plan framework, clearly articulated in those terms, which is something which we really appreciated. But also it helps us to see how the post office is an anchor of our service delivery machinery and a pillar of financial economic inclusion, especially at this point in time when we are all working hard towards changing the face of the apartheid economy. We are also, Chairperson, beginning to see out of the work that will be presented the importance of the proposed post bank in strengthening the post office as well. There are a few challenges outstanding. The capacity to implement the financial constraints, but on the whole, Chairperson, it gives a sense of hope that this era of the administrator has given the post office an opportunity to think deeply about the post office for the future, and also how to improve its capacity to deliver to the people of South Africa. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the portfolio, Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, Auditor General, colleagues from DTPS, colleagues from South African Post Office, and everybody that graced us with their presence this afternoon. We really appreciate the support and the interest in what we would like to share with you in our journey. I want to start off by emphasizing that we see this as a journey. We see this as a step in the right direction in our journey as a post office, hopefully to a point where we are going to be able to demonstrate that the post office can be an asset that can be relied upon in the development of our country. We are going to take you through a couple of slides. Some will go much quicker. In the interest of time, we are not intending to cover every slide in detail because some are there for illustration. We apologize, Chairperson, that we did change some of the slides around just so that the storyline actually is easier to follow, but all the slides are in line with the documents that were circulated, so there's nothing that is different to what was provided in the documents. We did also provide a slide that just illustrates where the changes were made to the initial presentation that we had provided. In introducing the post office, which I am sure many of us are familiar with, we like to show the footprint in terms of our points of presence throughout the country. The reason we do this is because in the whole turnaround strategy of the post office, we recognize this footprint as the biggest asset, not just for the post office, but also for government, for business, because this footprint is citizen facing. This is the footprint of the 2,486 points of presence, of which are post offices, and there is another 382 mail processing centers. This organization presently accounts for 5.69 billion rands worth of revenue. It sends about 1.4 billion mail items delivered to different recipients who are mainly households and post box owners per year. 13.8 million households are serviced per annum by this footprint throughout the country, and 66 million customers visit our branches per annum. And we believe this is a huge asset to our country, and this is the asset that we need to develop strategically. One, to provide services. Government in particular, and you will see that our turnaround strategy actually focuses on that quite significantly, but also for business in terms of delivering their services to the citizens and their customers. 13,500 business customers currently use the post office. And then we also have 4.7 billion post bank deposits, 4.7 billion rand post bank deposits, 7.5 million post bank accounts, which we've already shared with this committee before, and we have employees that are 23,820 at the moment. Currently, our labor environment, which has been a challenge for most of the time in 2014, has been stable since the strikes stopped on the 26th of November 2014. We are actually starting our 6 months of a stable labor environment, which is backed by a lot of dialogue and discussions, as you would have noticed from the appendix of the strategic turnaround plan. We have been talking to labor, we have shared with them the plan, we have received their comments, and we continue to engage with them in an honest attempt to have a constructive dialogue that takes us into a future that is constructive. We do have cash flow challenges at the moment, precisely because out of the problems that we experienced, particularly last year, we saw a number of customers looking elsewhere for services to be delivered. So our revenues have not recovered to the levels that they were before the strike. We do have a challenge of meeting all the cash outflow requirements. We believe that the strategic turnaround plan that we have, as we'll demonstrate in the numbers in the corporate strategic plan, are such that this post office will be able to recover and actually get to a point where it self-sustains itself. Long-term funding is very crucial. We do have a backlog of payments to suppliers that we need to catch up, and we will share with you our funding plan that actually allows us to achieve that. We do envisage a growth in government business to position SAPO as a delivery arm of government through the cabinet decision that was taken some time in the planning sessions of cabinet earlier this year, where cabinet decided to give SAPO 30% of the business that is in the areas that SAPO services. We are addressing the problem of the reserved market, and we have submitted complaints with ICASA because we have found in our diagnosis that there is somewhere between 1.3 billion to 1.5 billion leakage per annum in the revenues of SAPO as a result of private sector organizations and some state departments and entities that are actually disregarding or not obeying the regulations of ICASA that award SAPO parcels, letters that are 1 kilogram and below, as well as post boxes. And that has resulted in under recovery, which we'll demonstrate has actually also contributed significantly to the losses of SAPO at the moment. The whole idea being SAPO, in our understanding, was expected to roll out a comprehensive network in terms of developmental obligations that contributes to servicing a wide range of different areas, but in particular the underserviced areas of our country. And in order to fund that operationally, SAPO was given a reserved market that I've referred to, so that it could generate enough income to sustain services into the underserviced areas. And the leakage of revenue has contributed to its inability to sustain this network and the losses that we have experienced. And we'll demonstrate later today that bulk of these losses are actually coming out of this retail network that SAPO had to roll out. The implementation of the strategic turnaround plan is key to the recovery and sustainability of SAPO, we believe. And the turnaround has also been underpinned by some quick wins. We've looked at each person, and we have come up with a strategic intent where we intend to base our corporate strategic plan on the turnaround of this organization to establish a new business model, a business model that will be responsive to the needs of our customers. We call it a customer-centric business model. We'll also share with you this business model. We also, through this business model, hope to improve the income that we derive from the reserve market with the cooperation of the policymakers as well as ICASA, our regulator, to a level where we are able to sustain the operating cost of our developing of developmental obligations, including the universal service obligations. We would also like, through this turnaround plan, to develop business activities, including government business, in the unreserved market that are competitive, profitable, and commercially viable to achieve a sustainable growth for SAPO. So this plan positions SAPO as a key service provider that delivers government services to our citizens as a country. We hope to derive business from government that ranges between 50 and 55% of our revenue. At the moment, our business derived from government is 33% of revenue that SAPO actually reports per annum. 65% being out of business and 2% being from consumers. However, we need to note that consumers are not just 2% of our business, because they are the net recipients of bulk of the letters and the parcels that get sent through, and therefore service to them is also very important. Our vision is for SAPO to become a leading provider of postal logistics and financial services that is responsive to the market changes, this being one of the key challenges that we've had at SAPO. SAPO has found itself left with a legacy of a dying consumer service. We have not been able to keep up with the changes in the trends. The legislation, as we are going to argue later, was developed when access to ICT and digitization was very low. We have not yet thought of the role completely as a system that SAPO has to play in a country where penetration levels or access levels are in excess of 100% of our population, because some people carry more than one gadget. And therefore, we hope that this is an opportunity to reposition SAPO to play a meaningful role towards such development and to become a leader in developing a new set of services that are actually going to contribute meaningfully to the development across the spectrum of our community. Our mission is to facilitate communication and delivery of services by linking government, business, and customers with each other. And this is a mission that this plan takes very seriously. We've developed a set of 5 strategic goals that underpin this, being to implement a strategic turnaround plan to achieve a sustainable organization as the first most important goal. And under that, we've come up with a set of 6 strategic objectives. We've also developed a strategic goal to create a customer-centric organization. One of the key challenges that we've seen in terms of SAPO was that at the heart of the organization, customer focus was missing. We need an organization that understands the customers, both in terms of the senders and the recipients, and is geared to serve its customers with diligence. We also position SAPO as a key service partner that delivers government services. One of the sad realities of our country at the moment is that SAPO plays a very, very minimal role. Even though it's one of the areas that have been growing, particularly with our retail network, we believe that the potential is huge in that particular area. We've worked out that bulk of our households actually have to pass between 3 and 5 post offices before they get either to a point where local municipality provides services or national government in the form of home affairs to some centers provide services. We therefore think that SAPO would improve the reach of government to our citizens in a very significant manner. We also have a strategic goal to corporatize Postbank and set Postbank up as a key transaction bank for government, as a key bank that leads development and access to banking in our underserviced areas, and to ensure good corporate citizenship and good corporate governance. Our mandate derives from the Postal Services Act and the Postal Act of 1958, Postal Act number 44, as well as the Postal Services Act number 124 of 1998, which is to provide services to all South Africans. And this is the premise on which we base our strategic plan. We've looked at the global trends. Around the globe, we've seen product innovation. We've seen innovation that relates to pricing. We've seen how post offices have embraced e-commerce, customer focus, how they've reorganized themselves to be in a better position to service their customers and the citizens of their countries, and we've taken important lessons from this. However, when we walked into the post office, we conducted a diagnosis of the organization, and it led us to a diversified range of challenges, first and foremost being leadership. We found a situation where leadership, at least over the past 5 years, have been unstable. We've also observed that whilst the post office had declining trends in the prior 5 years to the past 5 years, and it had stable leadership, and during that time it experienced less of problems than what we have had of late. We've had many changes at the board. We've had many changes of chief executives and executives themselves. SAPO has been marred by governance and leadership gaps, lack of trust, and some corrupt activities. Governance has been very weak, including poor performance in terms of our reserved area, and clear definition of the universal service obligation also added to the problems that plague SAPO, as we will show later. Very limited oversight, inadequate oversight by the board, and effective management, in our view, are things that need to be addressed urgently. The morale of staff is very low, including at the present moment. However, we've noticed that staff also realizes the change is imminent, and they come across as very supportive of efforts to develop a SAPO that is able to sustain itself, that is able to serve customers in a manner that builds confidence. There is also lack of adequate funding in the organization. As I've indicated earlier on, that we do have challenges with cash. Bulk of the challenges as SAPO relates to working capital. The organization has also not been able in at least the past 2 years to invest adequately in terms of its capital expenditure. our operating model has been very inflexible. It has been based on the way that we used to serve over the past 20, 30 years. It hasn't changed, it hasn't moved. Just as an illustration, we still receive mail here in Cape Mail in Cape Town that, for instance, is destined for Bushbuckridge. We then take it to Cape Mail, we sort it out for Johannesburg Gauteng. In this particular case, it would go to Swane Mail. We receive it at Swane Mail, we sort it again, and we send it to Nelspruit. We receive it at Nelspruit, we sort it again to the various destinations, say in Mpumalanga, so the particular letter will then end up in Bushbuckridge. However, this mail is actually a bill from Fuchini, from Truex, which was sent digitally from the company to the printers. And therefore, if you look at today's technology, that mail could have easily been printed in Nelspruit and sent to Bushbuckridge. The amount of effort and cost that we spend resorting and sorting mail is actually excessive. The times have moved on, we also need to move on and find better use the capacity that we have. We also have inadequate execution capabilities, mainly led by our information technology. We have, Chairperson, invested in some applications. However, the biggest problem that SAPO has is a very poorly constructed, poorly designed IT network. It performs very poorly at an availability of about 60%, therefore rendering part of these applications not very effective in terms of what they need to do. We have not been able to keep up with the changing consumer trends, and as I indicated earlier on, the legislation, the policies, as well as the regulations that govern SAPO were conceived in a different era, before digitization, before improvements in access to ICT at the levels that we currently see, and all of this ran challenges to SAPO in terms of our operations. We have identified a number of strengths, including government support, the reserve market itself, the database of customers that SAPO already serves and already has. We also have identified IT, as I've discussed earlier on, as a key weakness, poor understanding and servicing of our customers in terms of our focus. We also have a problem in terms of our capabilities. We do have a number of threats as well that we face, skill shortages being one of them, because we actually now also operate in a much more technology-based platform. We therefore need to have the right skills to operate at that level. We do have a number of industrial actions, although, as I've indicated in the past 6 months, we've seemingly been able to find each other, but there's a number of agreements that were reached in the past that have still not been implemented, and largely because a lot of them did not contribute to the sustainability of the organization. And therefore, it still is a challenge that lies ahead of us as we implement this strategic plan to continuously talk and dialogue with labor to find ways of moving forward without being hamstrung by our past. There is also a bit of digital substitution, because the number of services that we provide are easily substitutable through digitization, and competitors are actually a lot more ahead of us in that regard. We do have opportunities as well, Chairperson, particularly in strengthening our working in the SADC region, in the emerging markets. E-commerce space is a very exciting opportunity for SAPO, in the sense that online businesses are a growing trend, and the biggest challenge in the online business space is logistics, is to reach to customers, because at the end of the day, whatever has been bought online still needs to be delivered, and SAPO is best positioned to take advantage of that and actually drive growth in that market in our country, and a number of other opportunities as we discuss. There are also systemic issues and systemic challenges, bulk of which have to do with the current policy and regulatory frameworks that we work with, which I've talked to. We also do need to locate SAPO a lot more purposely in terms of socio-economic development role, in terms of its role in delivering government services. All of this needs to be underpinned by a very strong funding model that repositions SAPO as an organization. I indicated to you, Jefferson, earlier on that we are going to illustrate some of the challenges that we have as an organization with the cost of universal services. In this slide, we actually use the retail network of SAPO to illustrate the cost of our universal service, because all of our branches are actually provided to, or developed to provide access to our citizens and our customers to the services of the postal office. The blue line in that graph illustrates the cost of running that service, actually the losses that at SAPO we've been incurring from these branches. We've been running out branches. I think we started at a level of about 1,500, my colleagues will correct me, a couple of years ago, and we have added 800 branches and plus that's at the moment, I think 986 to be exact, and that drives the increase in the cost of running these branches. However, there are also tendencies within the organization that have created challenges with these branches. It's not just the rollout, as we will illustrate, Jefferson, later on. These branches are some of them in areas where rental is just too expensive. They are unaffordable for the kinds of services that we offer. There's been a trend internally in the organization in the past few years to move into malls, guided by the thinking that there is more footage at the mall. And that has proven to be a very expensive trend to follow. And it has contributed to that increase that we see there in the losses of the retail costs. We look at this against the profits that the organization has been making from the reserved market. I would like to take out 2015, because 2015 is a year that was plagued by strikes, so it's not a normal year. But even at the trend that ends in 2014, even if we assume that trend has continued, we can see the widening gap. Now, from a policy position, this is the market that was supposed to support the continued increase of branches in terms of the retail network to provide universal service. And therefore we can see that there hasn't been a match. In our own weekly estimate, we have worked out a figure of somewhere between 1.3 and 1.5 billion rands per annum leakage in the revenue in the reserved market. And when you look at that, you would realize that we should at least be breaking even in terms of the cost of our retail network. And if you realize that our loss as an organization is forecasted in this very difficult year to have been 1.3 billion rands, as we have previously reported to this parliamentary portfolio committee, you then realize that the biggest contributor to that loss is our retail network, as we will also show later on. Our business model is very immature. What we try to illustrate in this diagram is, as you go around from the back spot in the middle, you see the various markets or channels that we try to provide as the post office. In all of them, as you get to the top, our services in terms of the red spots are very, very immature. We seem to do the basics, and we don't take the market to its fullest conclusion. For instance, if I could make an illustration with the post banks, not because they are any worse than any of us, we're very good with providing savings. Then we slag it there and thereabouts with retail banking, but nowhere close to what the rest of the retail bankers do in terms of services we provide. We're very scarce on insurance, and we actually very, very minute in terms of business banking, government banking transactions. Now, all of these areas illustrate the potential, because in our view, the post office should be able to have full response right across all of these particular areas. And that's the potential that this copy plan seeks to achieve in as far as the post office is concerned. And how do we want to do this? First of all, we need to address the financial health of this organization. At the moment, our costs exceed our revenues, and we've been growing faster than the revenue as an organization. In total, I think we've been growing our costs at a rate of 5% per annum, and revenue has been growing at a rate of 2% per annum. I'm talking under normal circumstances, discounting 2014 because of all the problems that plagued it. Therefore, we need to sort to fix that. And part of it, as we will illustrate just now, is really in the areas of retail, logistics, and financial services. Yes, mail volumes are declining. It's a trend that is right across the globe. It's a trend that we have to embrace and play a part, because it is a development of the market. But we are not able to replace those declining revenues at the moment in terms of our logistics, retail, and financial services. And that's one of the things that we need to do. We need to improve our customer focus and make sure that we understand our customers, and we develop an organization that is customer-centric, that faces the customer, and that expects to serve customers. At the moment, SAPO is very inward-looking, and therefore that affects our revenues when the customer needs change. We need to improve the performance of our retail revenues drastically. We need to improve our product offering. We need to see these retail outlets not just as existing to pipelines for main services, but also fulfill their role in terms of logistics, fulfill their role in terms of financial services, and play a very important role in developing e-commerce in our country, as well as ICT and access to ICT, particularly for rural and underserviced areas. We need to integrate our parcel business. Our parcel business is fragmented at the moment. We've got some parcel business in the Courier Freight Group. We've got some parcel business in Speed Services, which exists inside SAPO, and all sorts of other little areas. And what this does, it duplicates infrastructure in terms of property, it duplicates equipment, particularly in terms of vehicles, which generally end up all being underutilized but owned by each of the little empires in the organization. And we can develop lots of efficiencies if we actually consolidate the parcel business. And therefore, our strategic plan seeks to achieve that. We are going to also improve our delivery platforms. We exist in silos even beyond the parcel businesses. In different areas where we deliver, we look after our own infrastructure, we look after our own vehicles, we look after our own equipment, and bulk of it can be shared to drive efficiencies. We need to improve our information technology drastically. At the moment, our systems are very unstable. We operate in an unsafe environment in some of the cases, without adequate connectivity. As I indicated earlier on, that our network Jefferson sometimes is operating at about 60% availability. Very weak redundancies without independent testing environment. We develop products and test them in a live environment, which then causes a lot of teething problems to be experienced by our customers. And that is not acceptable in our days and in our day and time. We don't have a disaster recovery. And IT is very critical to the success of the South African Post Office. So it's an area that we intend to address and address very seriously and very urgently. We have actually started in a number of areas, as I'll show with our quick wins, that a number of our quick wins come from IT. But we have to work in partnership with a number of organizations that are established. We are at the moment in discussions with Telkom to implement a master solutions agreement that actually enables SABO to run on a reliable network, that enables SABO to consolidate its fragmented network and implement a network that actually can provide availability that is in the norm of 99% and above. We also have to deal with the issue of complying to regulation and the regulations that are very important with understanding sustainability and viability of the company. What we've seen in the recent past is compliance at the expense of viability and sustainability of the organization. What I'm talking to is this continued rollout of branches when the income does not justify. Not because it's wrong to roll out branches, but because you have to develop income streams that support the continued operation of those branches. We'll also continue to resolve our issues in the labor environment, and we've made strides, we've made progress. And I think if you read the comments from labor, you would also see that there's a lot of appetite to normalize the organization. We've also gone beyond that to invite all our employees to participate in their individual capacity, because some of them may not necessarily be represented in the labor organizations that we have, so that everybody is part of this process. And they have all responded constructively in a manner that seeks to build a strong organization, a more reliable organization going forward. We have to address the gaps in leadership. One of the things that this corporate strategic plan does is to introduce, based on the strategic turnaround plan, a new corporate structure. We would like to get to a point where the structure and the whole plan is approved so that we can start to populate it. At the moment, we run a vacancy rate of 49% at general manager and above in the organization. And therefore, we have a lot of our colleagues who are doing more than one job because they have to act in those positions and they have to continue to do work that they were employed to actually carry. And that puts a lot of stress on them. We have to also introduce a culture of high performance in the organization, address the issue of our implementation capabilities, address the challenge of governance and oversight, which has partly contributed to the situation in the organization. You will see, Chairperson, that bulk of our costs, somewhere between 70% and 80%, are actually fixed costs. And therefore, we can't turn this organization around without dealing with that cost structure. It is an unfortunate reality that bulk of the cost is actually employment costs, followed by transport costs, as well as properties. It does take time. We have to talk. We have to find a way to mitigate the changes that have to be made without falling foul of the contracts that are in existence. When we look at our loss-making parts of the business, staff cost to revenue is actually in the region of 119%, whereas on the profitable operations, particularly at our branches, that will be at the level of 53%. So it starts to give us an indication of how much change needs to take place. Similarly, property cost to revenue in areas that are loss-making is up to 35%, whereas in areas that are profitable of our business, particularly in our retail network, is in the region of 8%. So it gives you a quantum of the amount of change that needs to take place. You'll also see that this problem we're dealing with is not new.
Pardon me at the back, please, because he's sort of just distracting one of us.
Thank you, Chair. We start to see the growth rate between our revenue and our costs overtaking when the cost starts to grow faster than revenue, somewhere around 2009 to 2010. And we also noticed that is a time when a number of changes took place in our property portfolio. There was leadership instability, as I've indicated. This is the five-year range that we are talking about. And it actually gets much more pronounced 2012-2013. We have forecasted this going forward if nothing is done. And in our view, the turquoise line at the bottom illustrates, or the green line, I think, illustrates what is in the norm in terms of our growth rate for cost of 2%, different to the budget or the forecast of 5.7%, when the growth rate for income, when the growth rate for cost is at 5.4%. Therefore, if we do nothing, it is very clear that this organization will continue to experience this problem, and it probably gets even more pronounced. This problem emanates historically. In fact, maybe before I discuss this, I need to also illustrate or say that we've also done an analysis that has indicated to us that if you take out once-off earnings or income, if you take out subsidy and you take out Postbank, the post office that remains has actually been unprofitable since 2005. And it's been lack of that segmental reporting that masked it, and therefore we're unable to deal with the problem at its infancy. So we are dealing with a trend that is long coming, at least the past 10 years. This graph illustrates that our mail revenue, even though the mail volumes have been going down as a result of increases in prices and other things that have been done to try and support the mail revenue, like the hybrid mail, has been growing at a rate of 4.1%. And you will recall that I said our costs in terms of CAR are at 5.4%. So mail, even though it's also in a decline, has not been in a loss situation like the other products. Our problems are mainly in the yellow and the red line, which is logistics as well as retail. You will also see that between 2005 and 2009, Postbank grew very handsomely, and that is when they were able to participate in the payment of grants. And since that stopped, it has been declining and at best stable in terms of its income. And therefore, those are the areas we believe have to grow even faster in our new business model. Those are the areas that we believe have to receive a lot more focus to address this problem. Not that we need to ignore the main business. It needs to be supported, but it has journey to walk in terms of digitization. And our view is that we better off supporting the journey than working against it. And therefore, our plan proposes that we focus on digitization in terms of mail, we improve participation in e-commerce, we corporatize Postbank, and we deal with the product offerings of the retail network, so that the retail network is able to offer products beyond just mail. It has to increase its government services. It has to increase its online services. As an example, the e-commerce services. As an example, Jefferson, when we speak to some of the retailers that are using e-commerce, they are very prepared to offer click and collect services through the South African Post Office Retail Network, for instance, where customers will go on internet, buy something, and go collect it at the post office because it's already stocked today. At the moment, we don't do that. It's a huge revenue stream that could improve the performance of that retail network. So we start to see that this retail network, in terms of the pipeline that feeds it, have to grow beyond just mail. We've got to put products in those post offices that are going to serve consumers and are going to take advantage of the changes in the consumer needs. Illustrated slightly differently, you will see that the profitability of the different streams, being blue being mail, which has been declining, but it's still profitable. Even in 2015, which is a year that we saw a lot of disruptions, mail is still expected to come out slightly positive at 65 million profit, even though the mail volumes have been declining. The biggest problem, the biggest challenge is Red. And Red is our retail network. You would see that 176 that I showed in the other graph that still shows here. And that's why we need to put a lot of effort in improving the product offering, reducing the cost of our retail network, and we'll talk to that just now, as well as ensuring that this retail network is adequately supported by the income we derive from the reserve markets. When you look inside the retail network itself, in its revenues, we see that its revenues have been declining. The yellow, which is the social grant, has completely disappeared. So we pay no part in the offerings of the social grant since 2014, which was a very relatively normal year compared to 2015. And therefore, this has contributed hugely to its increased losses that we illustrated with the 1760 earlier on. But within that, we already see that the rent has continued to grow, which is actually the government business, mainly the motor vehicle licenses. And therefore, we see a huge potential in growing those service offerings because of the reach and the convenience of the location of the post offices. And we think that will set this retail network on a different platform if we pursue that growth path combined with e-commerce, as I've illustrated earlier on, and other product offerings. We also see, Chairperson, that there are two main factors that contribute to the profitability of the branches, mainly being the staff costs. The numbers of staff not that different, as well as the property costs as a percentage of revenue. We see that the retail operations that are located in expensive rental spaces are very unprofitable, particularly in the malls. We also see that the retail operations that have a high number of staff, as high as 11 per branch, tends to be unprofitable. And that is the effect of the income we derive from the services that we provide. And that's why we have to be very careful with the model. And at the moment, the post office does not have a well-defined model of what is a profitable retail operation of the post office. Our study has illustrated some of the critical factors in as far as that is concerned. For instance, we've got two types of retail outlets. Type A, you would normally find in the Western Cape or Vets, with a staff number of about 11, revenue of about 1.6 million per annum, property cost of 0.9 or just approaching 1 million per annum. Those tend to be unprofitable. Whereas type B would be in the Eastern Cape, typically rural setting, urban setting, staff of six. Because of the demand, the revenue levels tend to be a lot more higher in those areas, and the property costs are a lot more affordable. So we then see that in our 20 worst performing branches, we find a number of the type A branches in those, whereas in our best performing branches, we find a number of the type B branches. In the Eastern Cape, we have six of our best performing branches located there. It therefore defeats the logic that it's servicing the rural areas that is actually creating the challenge of profitability that we have. It actually is going into expensive areas and servicing upmarket areas excessively in terms of cost without having the product line that creates the strong revenues to sustain those locations. That actually is the problem of our branches. We also have a problem in some of our products, particularly when you look at logistics. This graph illustrates
This graph illustrates that if you look at the dotted line halfway through, all the products on our left are actually the products that are profitable. And these tend to be products between XPS, only one of those, and then Speed Services, Korea is actually contributing largely to the profitability of our parcel business or logistics. And then on the right of that particular dotted line, you start to see products that result in the decline of this profitability. Bulk of those still being shared between XPS and Speed Services. Then we get to the problem child, which is PX. It is the largest contributor actually to the loss-making logistics business of SAPO, which is the Korea Freight Group. Mainly because we use 56-ton vehicles to move 18-ton of real cargo, because the difference is taken by dead weight of the containers. And therefore, this is a business we've taken the decision to discontinue as an organization, because our competitors are using 30-ton vehicles to move 18 tons of real cargo. And therefore, their cost-to-income ratio is much better. We've gone to the customers that are using PX and offered to move them and move their products to a much more competitive technology in terms of logistics that would benefit both of us, because at the moment they are paying us to move our dead weight, which does not necessarily benefit them and does not benefit us either. And therefore our problems largely in logistics are in that red box, and that is between XPS and PX. So our view is this is a business that needs to be consolidated. We need to develop the products that are on the right, but not the ones inside the red box. And we need to continue to offer the services that we are offering in the products on the left. And that way, we will turn this business around and offer a much more better proposition in terms of SAPO parcels. Our business model proposes that we change the mix in the diversification of our products. As it is at the moment, you will see that 69% is in mail, 12% is in logistics, 12% in post bank of our revenue mix, and 7% in retail, even though retail is our biggest, is our loss leader. We propose a model where, because we grow faster in terms of logistics, post bank and retail, mail moderates to 50% of our revenue, and we grow logistics to a point where it contributes 15%, post bank 20% and 15%. And therefore that means that the cumulative average growth rate of retail in particular has to be much more faster than the other products at 25%, 18.5% for post bank, and 18% for logistics. Whilst mail continues to grow, we've put it at 2%, and we aim to get to an ROE of 14.9%, and that way post office will actually be healthy, sustainable, and able to fund its operations.
To start managing your time.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to skip this slide, even though my colleague is going to kill me because she spent a lot of time developing, but I think it covers bulk of what we've talked about. Safe to say, we actually looking at social mandate delivery as a primary area, product diversification, customer intimacy, improve our operational efficiency, and respond to our corporate citizenship. So this turnaround plan, Jefferson, does the following. If you take the color coding, 2016 financial year being the projected loss if nothing is done of 1.4 billion, the following year will grow to minus 1.6 billion, and then it grows likely in 2018 still around 1.6 billion. Our revenue growth
that is proposed in this plan grows the revenue over those years by 4.4 billion. It saves us costs of 4.6 billion. There's a little bit of depreciation in terms of the new technologies and equipment that we'll introduce. There's a net interest because we have to borrow money, so we have to fund that borrowing of 600 million, as well as tax and other expenses. And therefore, we forecast a much more reduced loss of 102 million rand in 2016, going into a profit of 1.3 billion in 2017, and growing to 1.5 billion in 2018 in terms of this turnaround strategy. This slide shows you some of the quick wins that have been identified that we've started to implement. This is what we wanted to do in the first 3 months. A lot of it coming in between April and May. You will see that in savings that we were planning to achieve in information technology, all of them, the contracts that derive those savings, have been concluded already. And that gives us a very good traction in terms of getting to where we're going, as well as the termination of excess fleet maintenance leases in logistics. Saving of 6 million rand per annum has already been implemented. Actually, on those savings, we've already achieved 115 million based on the contractual changes that we've done at the start of this financial year into the end of April, being the 37, 51, 18 and 6 million that we illustrate there. We are proposing, Chairperson, to implement a new operating model. At the heart of it is customers, our customers being business, government and consumers. We are putting together a marketing and sales department. At the moment, SAPO does not have a consolidated marketing and sales department. Every stream markets and sells for itself, so we end up selling against each other. We end up destroying sales with the customers. We are going to consolidate that in the new structure into one area that focuses on representing SAPO and trying to achieve servicing the needs of the customer. Holistically. So we are going to go to our customers with the primary purpose of understanding their needs and then matching that with the services we provide, which is the key account strategy. Consolidating our product offerings and our core operations to support our customers. And all the services that are provided in the grey are also going to be consolidated. So transport is going to be consolidated when we move from Joburg to Nelspruit or Rustenburg. We'll put our parcels, we'll put our letters in that direction and fully utilize those vehicles. At the moment, we send 3 vehicles in each direction. All of them are underutilized. And that's what we are actually going to change with this new structure. So we are consolidating our structure. We're reducing the top structure because we're very top heavy, from 15 direct reports to the CEO to 7. We're introducing very streamlined, consolidated areas of commercial, of strategy, as well as governance, as the areas that address our key weaknesses in the structure. We retain finance, chief operating officer, human capital, and chief technology. Unfortunately, Chairperson, this does have an impact on our staff levels as well. We estimate a reduction in our staffing levels based on positions, not warm bodies at this point. We are still working towards understanding which positions are vacant, that are affected, where will people move from the positions that are filled to the positions that are vacant but needed. And then we will know exactly how many employees then get affected. But we are estimating 5,065 positions that are affected in our structure at the moment out of the 23,820 that we talked about earlier on. And in terms of the job levels, those positions exist at those levels as illustrated on my left. going to skip this slide, but it really talks to the age profile, and it illustrates that if nothing is done, if we were not going to do anything in terms of reduction of staff, over 5 years we will achieve through natural attrition a reduction of 501, which is 10% really of what we think has to change in the organization. We also do hope that when we offer early retirement, there's about 1,807 members of our staff that will qualify and should be attracted to take that early retirement. We therefore are hoping to continue this discussion with our labor partners and find a way to mitigate impact as far as we possibly can in terms of the number of people that may get affected by this reduction in our staffing levels. We have identified areas like the enforcement of the reserved market, working together with the department and hopefully with the CASA that we started to talk to improve the levels of enforcement of our regulations and absorb some of the people that understand this business to help in that regard. Scaling up our mail room management with deploying more mail room coordinators in government. An average of 3.4 million a month is spent on cleaning services at SAPO. We want to use our own employees to provide that. We also want to use our own employees to provide catering services. We want to use our own employees to move mail between the mail sorting centers, which is what we call line haul, and that is a huge amount of 1.5 million, I'm sorry, of 264 million per annum that we spend in that regard. So we think there are opportunities that can be looked at to absorb people. There are entrepreneurial opportunities, there are also employment opportunities, and we pursue this. We are continuing to talk to a number of people that are approaching us with a number of proposals that will actually create much more value-adding employment opportunities, much more value-adding entrepreneurial opportunities. So our staff is also going to experience repositioning, and therefore we need to focus on training them. We have also designed a roadmap that actually says in this first year, for the first 4 quarters of the year, we're going to focus on stopping the bleeding in this organization. And then somewhere in quarter 3, we will start to implement new business models that we referred to earlier on, that starts to look at fast-tracking growth in retail, fast-tracking growth in post-bank, as well as in logistics. And then in year 4, we'll look at sustaining the growth that we shall have achieved. I would like to request our CFO, acting CFO, Chairperson. I apologize, I forgot to introduce my team when I started, but I do have the acting CFO, which is Ms. Manteng Malika. I also have the acting CEO.
Allow me to introduce themselves. From my side as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. Manteng will then take us through the 3 slides on the income statement.
On slide 39 talks directly to what Dr. Simule Shaba mentioned on slide 29, where the income statement represented there for the 3-year budget period, where in the 2015-2016 period, where it will be the stop bleeding initiatives that will be put in place to make sure that at least we arrive at a net operating loss of 102 million as compared to the previous unaudited figures of 101 billion. And then from 2016, 2017 and 2018 periods, then we will see a much improved profitability ratio. These revenue and expenditure figures are taking into consideration the strategic turnaround initiatives of revenue upliftment and also cost reduction initiatives. And they also include cost of borrowing that will be required, which I'll talk to in the next slide. On the next slide, then we look at the financial position. Important to note there is there at the bottom where you see those two figures in red, that the post office as a standalone without the post bank is actually currently not in a solvent position where it's generating a negative profit and has eroded equity, which will turn around in line with the strategic turnaround plan from 2016-2017 year and 2017-2018 year. And also important to note is that a 3-year term loan will have to be secured in order to address the previous erosion of equity and also to also address the liability positions that we currently sit in with, where there's a lot of backlog of supplier payments, and also the 1.2 billion will also assist to capitalize the organization in order to carry the strategic turnaround plan. On the next slide, is the SAPO cash flows. There, to facilitate the post bank corporatization for the midterm period, 453 million is set aside for capital investment, and also 707 million is set aside for investment in the SAPO standalone organization, mainly as investment in IT to strengthen the IT capability to move in line with the new digital technologies that are out there, and also on the processing of mail costs, the capital requirement thereof. I think, then we can move to the next slide, Dr. The next slide speaks to the borrowing and funding plan. Currently, SAPO has an overdraft of 270 million that will be maintained in the budget period to 2015, 2016, and 2018 year. And that is backed by state guarantee and it's utilized for day-to-day operational requirements. Currently also, SAPO has a 200 billion approved term loan, which is due for repayment in 3 months. That's also utilized for day-to-day operational requirements. Further capitalization will be required in the form of a borrowing of 1.25 million, of which 1 billion has already been sourced with banking institutions, just awaiting for national treasury.
Just move the mic closer to you, because I think at some point you speak away from the mic, it becomes difficult.
Alright. Just awaiting final approval by national treasury and DTPA to access the funding. And as I said already, the main reason for the long-term funding is mainly to address the backlog of creditor liabilities that current SAPO is sitting with, and also to fund the future strategic turnaround initiative.
Thank you very much. I just want to very briefly now to the regulation issue. We are actually addressing this problem of enforcement of regulations. We have been talking to ICASA. We formed the task team, and as I've also illustrated, indicated earlier on, we have put an official complaint to ICASA to deal with this leakage of the reserve market as part of this turnaround strategy. Andrew, you're going to talk to the implementation readiness.
Thank you. Good afternoon, the members of the committee. My name is Andrew Nongomo. As has been highlighted a bit earlier on, the implementation or the successful implementation of the strategic plan is dependent primarily on the capacity within the SAPO management to actually roll out this plan. And partly this relates to the questions of labor stability, which I think have been addressed. Insofar as the committee is aware that in the absence of labor stability, it becomes truly impossible to try and actually meet any of these targets or to even get back to a position where we were previously. But to that end, as has been already reflected by the administrator, there have been numerous discussions with unions and labor bodies to come to some agreement and a common vision about what it is that we are trying to do with the organization. And to a large extent, I think the unions have agreed to follow this path of action to try and get us to profitability. Leadership stability, of course, is also quite key. Administrator alluded to the fact that we currently sit in the 49% vacancy rate, but this is leadership at an executive level. We also are talking about leadership at a board level. As you know, we are currently operating without a board, and we are hopeful that soon this will be resolved. One of the key facets within the South African Post Office that has been sorely lacking is a robust performance management system in terms of executive management and those who implement plans. And critically, this is something that our Human Resources Department is now working on quite urgently, because if we are, and we will take you through the KPIs, for example, if we are to meet those KPIs, it's absolutely crucial that they are tied into the contracts of executives and that in fact they are monitored quite effectively and robustly throughout the course of this 3-year period. In the absence of that, we will come back again to the committee talking about another turnaround plan, and we certainly don't want to do that. And of course, lastly, long-term funding availability will enable these key resources for the STP to be implemented. And I think it is crucial, and Mateng has just pointed out, the financing that we are asking from the banks is intended primarily to fund this STP and ensure that we arrive at a position where we are able to be sustainable going into the future, and therefore there will be no need for further borrowings as we continue with the STP. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Finally, from my side, Chairperson, therefore the key success factors in as far as the turnaround is concerned is the approval of the strategic corporate plan and the STP, the implementation of a lean corporate structure, the implementation of the 30% government business to implement it and get it going in terms of our repositioning of SAPO, because at the heart of this corporate plan is to reposition SAPO as a customer-focused organization that is a leading service provider in provision of government services. It's the approval of the 1.25 billion long-term funding, which Mateng spoke to, increasing customer engagement to regain confidence of our customers. We can't delay that by one more day. We need to continue and intensify our engagements with our labor partners. We need to get on board and move with speed to deal with the issues of encroachment, as well as implement all the initiatives in IT, in logistics, in property, in post-bank corporatization that we've referred to in this discussion. Chairperson, I would now like to ask Andrew to just take us through the APP of SAPO, which actually talks to the performance plan that we have put in place for the organizational scorecard.
Chairperson and members, thank you once again, and I'm now very cognizant of your time, so I'll try not to belabor the point. What we have done here is we've taken the 5 strategic goals that we talked to earlier on, and basically pushed some key performance areas as well as key performance indicators for the first year. We've indicated the 3-year for the MTF period, but we've then broken up the first year into the quarters for ease of reference. But I think of some importance, members, is that I know we've been criticized in the past for having an excessive amount of KPIs. I think in the last APP we had something like 65 KPIs. What we've attempted to now do is drop them down to a manageable about 34 KPIs so that management can actually be focused on the critical KPIs that will render success to this STP. So we have included, and I won't go into all of them, I suspect members may have some questions, but we've talked to issues of profitability, issues of raising market share, revenue, and while I'm on that first strategic goal, you will notice that we talk a little bit about developing a financial model. One of the key issues within SAPO has been our inability to effectively develop a costing model that tells us exactly what it costs us, either per product or per service, so that we can actually price ourselves properly and then be able to actually understand our level of profitability. So you will see that in the first in the first quarter, second quarter, etc. in the first year, a lot of time will be spent around developing these costing models and understanding our pricing models so that we price our products correctly. And we are also doing this in conjunction with ICASA around the reserved area. There's something called cost account, account separation that ICASA is currently looking at. We're looking in the next quarter to be able to have a discussion with them as to their findings in that regard, so that we can understand exactly how we are financing the USO. Insofar as the other KPIs are concerned, some of them are familiar to members. Mail delivery standards, for example, retail queue waiting times around 10 minutes. We've added things around productivity, so around mail processing and transport, and property usage. So we're looking at property, for example, that in the year, the annual target for 2015-2016, we're looking at around 791 rand per square meter in terms of revenue for all the properties that we utilize, and then this will increase as we proceed. We've also included, I'm trying to look at ones that are new for members, around profitability, for example, we've also looked at creditor days, stock days, and our stock turnover, because we've realized that in many cases as an organization, we tend to maintain a lot of stock that is not helpful in terms of our cash flows, in terms of profitability. We've also, particularly in strategic goal number 3, we talked to the issue of the 30% government business. For us, this is a key indicator. And because it's so key to the revival of the organization, we've spent a bit of time making sure that there is understanding around these KPIs. A lot of our managers' KPIs will be tied to this to ensure its success, because as you notice, our target there is to try and reach at least 50 to 55% of our revenues should be coming from government by the time we hit the end of the MTF period. And let's see if there's anything new. We have put some KPIs for Post Bank, but those are not too different from what we've had before. And lastly, we have put in some KPIs around environmental sustainability and adherence to PFMA. And then on the very last slide, which is slide number 9, we've talked about effective risk and governance. And in here, we've put in key performance indicators around risk management, audit issues, and lastly, at the bottom, we've looked at stakeholder satisfaction and statutory submission requirements to Parliament to ensure that these are done on time. I believe if there are any questions, members will be able to respond. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe let me just get the introduction, which I should have started with, and apologies to the colleagues who are around the table. Maybe if they can just introduce the housekeeping that is coming here, so that by the time we engage, you know who are we engaging.
Rhoda Keka, I'm responsible for government and parliamentary
My name is Joe Bratton. I'm actually the acting head of the group project management office.
I'm Nicola
Dewar.
I'm Nicola Dewar, CFO of Postbank.
I'm Anthea Seafield, the acting CEO and group executive human capital.
I'm Lenny Gumbus of finance.
Good day, Manding Marika, GM finance, currently acting CFO.
And Nongogo, currently acting as head of mail business.
And let me back here, Chairperson. I also have members of the intervention team that work with me as the administrator.
Sondar Stein, finance with team.
Lohat Ramukhota, project director and operations team.
Lusanda Kabululo, project manager and strategy and commercial team.
Jack from Zeko, information technology and technology.
Thank you very much for the introduction, the team. I'm just going to call for 5 minutes comfort break, and then we start with the discussions about one quote and the team.
telephone number.
That's the main bank.
Linda's talking to me.
Are you going anywhere? Are you sticking around?
I think I'm going to stay around for a while.
Okay, great. I'm just going to show my stuff at the final.
Can you bring down the body of it, sir?
So you're still a public protector, that's your story.
You mean Cyril?
Yes.
Okay.
Who helped us from fucking us with a presidency statement?
I trusted Ted Blom too much, and he lied that he hadn't said it. Yes.
Really?
The paragraphs there while I was sitting down. I was asking him, is this right? Is that right? You want to say it? But I should have allowed my doubts to question it. I just sort of trusted it too much.
It sometimes goes like this, you know, where you go, okay, let's just try, because you know that...
I mean, you're saying that the lumps, you know, they hide behind these blind trusts and really will run it anyway. And that's what he believes.
But he doesn't have any real proof.
Yeah.
Well, this was...
But he said it in a public meeting, and...
And then he denied things.
Well, more or less, you know, he said, I was asked questions, and I'm sorry that it was something that I regret saying things in reply to questions. There wasn't any of my instincts, they were trying to dismiss them, said it. I mean, he actually speaks, yeah. And thanks, I think. Oh, there's actually a number. That's excellent. Thanks.
Are you going to have room today,
sir? This is your seat.
Over there. Are you sitting on the
chair? Yeah, I'll go back to the seat.
Okay.
Are you doing this one?
This one, PNG.
PNG?
This one.
Don't get edited.
No.
They look the wrong look. I'll press your coffee.